she was sitting in this room that had the glass door, and I don't know that she heard so much as saw a vague figure. And of course, when she leapt up, the man disappeared. But it was a bit of a mystery, because she said that the caretaker, the man, came up and said he would phone the police. And when she said, well, have you phoned them? And he said, oh, no, I'll go down and do it. So if there was anything in it, I don't know if there was. He gave the man a chance to get away, didn't he?
I see.
So in her letter, she says, some weeks ago, whilst sitting working at the window in the small room, which you may remember is near the kitchen, with the doors closed, as it was a bitterly cold day, the front door of my flat was burst open, and a young thug tried to push his way through the broken door, which had been torn off the hinges and the locks out of the woodwork. Fortunately, I had, as usual, put up the safety chain. This prevented him from getting past the small entrance hall. On my demanding who he was and what he wanted, he immediately turned tail, pulling behind him the iron safety door at the top of the staircase. By the time I had got this heavy door open, he was halfway down the staircase. On telephoning for the police, they arrived very quickly, but unfortunately, the burglar had got away. He was long-haired and very much the hippie type, but I did not see his face. 23rd of March, oh yes, by the way,
23,
yes,
I think.
And it was
March 27th. Did she enjoy shopping? Because you went out with her a bit, didn't you?
And Mr. Pemberton said of that the day when I turned up, you know, and the lady woman was there too, pottering about, and he said, how did he put it? He said, were there any bills outstanding? That was his point. And he said, how was it put? It was, did she do her own shopping, I think he said. Did she shop? And this Mrs. Dean piped up and said, oh, I used to go out for her. I brought her braid in. And I said, no, he doesn't mean that. He means, did you run up any bills? So she, oh. Because she didn't.
No, she did most, you know, did shopping and made cash.
Yes, yes. The laundry man used to come, and she made a great fuss of his little girl, and it was rather sickening the way the child would be sent to tap on the door when he was in other parts of the house. And she used to come straight over to me. I think she was a bit frightened of her. Just gaze at me, little girl, about 8, I suppose. And she seemed a bit, you know, not like our kids. She had nothing to say, but she just gazed, you know, and I said, oh, you've come to see the lady, have you? And she said, yes. Well, I think, and I know that there are many people like that, aren't there, so why should I criticize? But I think that it was a pity she gave the child a holy picture for her Communion Day. I wonder to what extent they appreciated that. I don't know.
Mm. Maybe they were Catholics, in which case it would be appreciated, but I don't know. But I really wonder, when you went round Selfridges, for instance, with her, which you did sometimes, didn't you, how did she behave with shop assistants?
Oh, yes.
She was very friendly.
She was lavish, absolutely lavish with them. Yes, I will say yes.
Just one more, but that really is all. Thank you very much. They're very nice.
You see, I have to tell you the whole thing, otherwise, you know.
Do, yes, I like you to.
She said to me one day, she wanted, which was very kind indeed, wanted to equip my handbag. She said one day, it was a very untidy handbag I had. So she said she wanted me to have a set of things. And I think this is the first thing she, oh, and she said, you must make a bagswan. So she gave me that, which is quite nice. And she bought that herself. And then she wanted to take me on my lipstick. She queried. And so off we went to, I forget if I met her there or if I, no, I'd rather feel I went to meet flat. And so she chatted to the girl at this cosmetic counter. Oh, first of all, she had a few roses. So she passed those over to the girl. And the girl was very busy. She said, oh, that's nice, you know, you shouldn't have. And she eventually bought me this to go on my lipstick case. See? That was nice, wasn't it? Then, oh, I don't think it could have been the same time. Then she didn't like the compact I had. So she will make, as a matter of fact, I lost it and had to buy it again just to replace it. So that isn't actually the one she gave me, but it was like this, you see.
Yes.
So then she said, now we'll go to the patisserie department in the basement. So I trotted along with her.
This is all in Selfridges?
Yes, and she was very friendly with them all. And in fact, down in the basement, the woman she hailed came out from her counter, you know, and said something about the staff had changed, but so-and-so was still with them. So she was very, they both seemed to me always to associate a lot. What do you call us? The lower
class.
Yes. You see? Which kind of was quite
they had regular people they always went to, wherever they were, and they got to know them very well and gave them things, did they?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
So this day, she said, now, look at these cakes and look at that. And so I chose. I should choose two. So it didn't dawn upon me, but I named for me. So then we came up in the lift and she said, now we'll go back to the flat. Oh, I said, Mrs. Harwin, I have to be somewhere at 12 o'clock. It's gone 12 now. Of course, she was bitterly disappointed, poor soul. She apparently had nothing else to do that morning. So I didn't go back with her. So I think she gave me the case, I can't remember now. So she was very determined to tie me if she could.
By tie, you mean she wanted you where she wanted you?
Mm.
Yes. Then yes, I think that applied even when you were at home, you know, she would expect to telephone and expect you to jump in to a
then
request.
Now, which, I think this was in 73, must have been. She did tell me a lot about Brother Mandus.
Oh, this vaguely rings a bell, Brother Mandus. Carry on, I've heard about him already.
And when my husband had his heart attack, that was in 68, my sister said...
You've had a heart attack, haven't you?
I had fixed up with him to go to Rorsted. So my sister, who was living at home, said, much better idea. You come and stay with me, and he can go to the John Howard. You know the prison where poor man?
Yes,
convalescent home.
He's got a very nice, well, at least the firm have or whatever it is. So that was arranged. So Mrs. Harbin kept very closely in touch with me. She used to ring there, and what was very kind. She sent the occasional £5 note, which was very nice. And she said, you must put him on a prayer list. So she said, Brother Mandus has an address at home, which she found from the Sound Support, I think. So it was in one of those wide avenues. So off I trotted, and I did knock at the door, there was no one in. So I wrote a little note. Oh, and she said, oh, don't forget to enclose a donation. So I enclosed a batch of stamps for him to be put on their prayer list. And I put them at the address I was staying in, which was really around the corner light on the front. And they did reply to me there. And my sister was also visiting a hospital, and she was looking after just one or two people. She used to go and have tea with them and chat to them. And she mentioned Brother Manders, and the woman she mentioned him to said, oh, he is a saint. So that seemed to register quite nicely. Now, a little while afterwards, she said, would your husband and yourself come with me to a meeting? She said,
this is Baby saying
yes,
to you,
Baby,
yes.
Said, I was going to the central hall for a medical exam, not an examination of herself, but you know, of her medical knowledge. And she said, whilst I was there, I saw this announcement that Brother Manders was going to speak at Caxton Hall, I think. Then she said, I'll take you for a meal to St. Ermine's Hotel.
Oh yes, it's quite near.
So I said, I knew during the war it was no longer a hotel, perhaps it was now. So, it was very handy. So I don't know whether she phoned through, I had second thoughts about that, but that fell through, that part of it. And Edward said he didn't want to go here, some religious chat spouting. But I went, and she got there before me. So she was like that. She sort of gave it all her thought. And she was sitting in the second row, which she said was the ideal spot. There's no one else there when I arrived. So she was installed. And it was a very quiet, superior room. And on the dais, the platform, there was a table with a few roses, and very artistic. And this man, he spoke very sensibly, and prayer was a thing, and so on. And then the people, by this time, had crowded in. Now, a girl came very late, and she was a young girl. A baby was this side of me, all in her black. And this girl, unknown girl, chatted to her friends and sat the other side of me. And then she said to me, I've come a long way, I've come from Ealing. So I said, have you? Oh, I come from Hayes. And, the girl was very anxious for a friendship, you see. And I wasn't reluctant, I must admit. And she said, she all but gave me her address. She said the authorities had allowed her little flat because she'd been so ill. I said, how nice. Oh, Baby was very put out by this. And when it was over, she said, oh, come on, we'll hurry up, hurry up. So I said, oh, yes. So we did hurry up. Oh, and incidentally, there was an aged journalist who was once on our committee, and I saw her come up the lane of the hands, and I mentioned this to Baby. She said, oh, you go and speak to her. So I said, oh, no, I don't know that she knows I've seen her. Well, as she was so anti my talking to this other girl, I thought this is going to be awkward to go off and speak to this Eva Besley, her name is. And she's got an OB as well.
Yeah, for church work.
Yes, she took notes at the House of Commons for umpteen years. And, so off we went, and she ran out and got a taxi. She was very good at that sort of thing.
You mean Baby was?
Baby was, oh, yeah. Yes. Mm. And we got to Paddington. I don't know if I crossed my copybook also that this occasion. I said to the taxi man, you know Bishop's Bridge, don't you? Would you be so kind as to put me down on the bridge where you turn round. I said, there's a catwalk, and I can go across there. And I said, if the train is in, it's much easier. So he said, oh, he said, you're not supposed to go that way. I said, no, I know you're not. Isn't it fun? So he did. Well, she said to me later, what were you saying to him?
Because she was hard of hearing, wasn't she?
Yes, she was hard of hearing.
Thought you were talking about her, I expect.
I don't know, I don't think she knew, but giving him directions. And she took great exception, this girl, the other side, is, I suppose, if you are, you know, taking someone out, they shouldn't talk to other people, do you think?
Maybe, I mean, I don't know, but...
Well, on more than one occasion. In fact, one day, we were in Hyde Park Street then, and their flat was the second floor, I think. And when I got down the steps, I thought to myself, shall I walk to Paddington? I thought, no. And I did hail a taxi. And I looked up, and there she was looking. I thought, oh, good job, I didn't set off walking and ignore this taxi that came by. Yes, she, even just going to Selfridge's, she took a taxi, and she would come out of Hyde Park Street with me and signal a taxi.
When you say she's good at that sort of thing, she was just good at getting taxis?
Yes.
Or, because in a way you wouldn't think she would. You'd think she'd be helpless and sort of...
Yes, rather... you would. Mm. You would.
But she knew how to do that side of life, anyway.
Yes, I told you about the taxi man who said to
you did, yeah.
That lady.
The,
Yes. And I said,
yeah,
she's
but the
a
only
JP's
thing she didn't
wife.
Do was whistle.
Not like John Weller's. That was fun, wasn't it?
What did she dress? What sort of clothes did she have?
Yes.
I remember you mentioned her veils and
she
things like
had
that.
She had a long black coat that she seemed to stick to. Of course, this was after he died. And she always wore that, and
was it a mourning
it was very
coat? Do you think?
Well,
I mean?
She used it as a mourning coat, but it was very good material, and she used to have very good gloves, you know. But she was always in black, always, always after he died.
Do you think that was deliberate, really, as a sort of?
Well, yes, I do.
What did she wear before?
Yes, before she used to wear. Tweed suits, you know, and blue was her colour. And she had a very nice blue ring, a sort of a signet ring. It was cut out. I don't know if it would have done for us making seals or not, but it's that kind of ring with a blue, dark blue stone.
And she had a dress sense, did she? I mean, she was good
yes,
at
clothes. Yes. And she had innumerable hats. Made by someone in George Street, and I took Minley classes, and I thought I would make her a hat. Well, the teacher, one taking this, rather influenced me and said, oh, don't make it of chiffon, it's best to make it of rainproof velvet, I think she called it street velvet. So I got this stuff, and I got it in the right blue, I think, and I made it. But of course it did turn out to be, I realised immediately it was finished. It was very complicated, the size of it, overlapping velvet. As it was on the heavy side, you see. But it was all my own work, the lining, the foundation, everything. So I took it in a hat box that I also bought. And she hung onto the hat box, but she returned the hat.
Returned it to
you? Yes.
What did she say about it?
She said, oh, it's not my type at all.
Well, it was a very nice thought of yours, isn't it?
I thought it was.
I mean, it's more important in a Catholic place.
Yes, right, yes. Not far from Park Street. And she couldn't get in. And that she said that he was in habit, but not, she didn't recognise which order it was. And he said to her, you're in distress, and she said yes. And then he walked back to the flat with her. And later she said something about when the priest came here, which I take it is the same one. Well, I don't understand that she wouldn't let anybody into the flat. Why did she let him in? Was he an exception?
Mm.
I don't know.
Did she take photographs or mementos of Harbin into her Park Street flat when she moved?
Oh, into the Park Street flat.
Mm.
Oh yes, everything came.
Mm.
Before she left, yes, she'd got, had passed on the clock, the grandfather clock, and she'd passed on the china. Had she passed on the miniatures by that time? I think so. And then she took everything else. Yes, all the pictures of him and the precious statuettes, you know. The Rodin, the frog boy, which was quite delightful. Oh, and there was a bust of him, too, that she had in this tiny hall.
So he came with her in a sense?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. In fact, very much so.
As well.
She,
His clothes as well.
How? You mean she kept all his clothes? Oh,
well, she kept for some time, anyway.
Did she?
Mm.
Mm.
His toppers and dress suits.
And she used to say to me, I'll just go in and tell my husband that I'm going out. And she would look at this large picture.
Yes, this is artery diagram. Mm. She just tell the picture.
And she was going out, you know, I thought it was quite sweet.
Mm.
So but the only thing I can't tell you, and I think it's a bit important, is to read that letter. What is I am the letter slide. Only she rang through twice and said, can you recommend someone? Of course it ended by my starting again, and then I did say to her once, well, I will come every fortnight, every other week only. I don't know how long that lasted, because before he died, I was going there very regularly.
Hmm.
I don't know, I had her on my conscience, I don't know why.
You see, I wonder...
In 67.
That was when he died.
Hmm.
Oh. Well, I don't know. Yes, I do. According to your wishes, it should be his wishes, isn't it? Your wishes, when you were last in London, I am putting aside for you your father's silver trophies, the two small Chinese pictures, the two wee chairs, his Worcester china that was presented by the city when my dear, quoted, was standing for Parliament.
Yes, I'm a Liberal candidate.
Yes, he stood about three times.
Three...
For Barnstaple or
something. That's right.
Three framed drawings designed by your great-grandfather on the occasion of your father's 21st birthday, and most treasured by him. The Harbin arms set in small leaden panes which can be let into any window. You might like to have them for your own study. Also, there is a small can't be hypothetical, can you? There's a small you make anything else? Always used when travelling. It belonged to his grandfather.
Small hypothetical case, small something case, anyway, not to worry. Mm.
Yes. Some very good crested stationery and one or two other little intimate oddments that you may care to have. Apropos of the Worcester china, it is, as you know, housed in what was formerly an old bookcase, which I had temporarily adapted, yes. make a perfect thing to your own design. It had always been my intention to have a proper china cabinet made, but your father's health, especially the last few years, has been my main preoccupation, and there has never been time to attend to it. Naturally, should you want the old bookcase, that too will be put aside for you, and anything else that you wish to have. Your son Peter expressed a wish for your father's desk, chair, and the Turkish carpet that used to be in the study of the old house at Warnham. I had promised them to him when we were leaving the old flat. I am sure you would wish me to honour my pledge to your boy.
This is all written to Eric, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it all written to Eric? I think he...
In November 67.
Yes. To the Hyde Park Hotel. And she sent me round with a little workroom message and asking him to come and see her or phone her. Of course, when I got there, I don't know that they were told, but they said to me, oh yes, we'll give it to him, yes. And somebody scuttled away and they couldn't find him. And she said, I expect he was in the bar. I expect he was. I don't know why they couldn't have found him there.
He was rather heavy drinker, wasn't he?
Oh,
yes.
I think so, yes.
Yes, that's why Iris left him, I think.
Yes.
The fifth wife.
Of course, that's right.
And,
I suppose he had to kill himself, too.
So, back I went. But he did have Piggy, didn't he, in Malta?
Did he? I don't know about his affairs.
Yes,
at all.
I rather feel that Naomi didn't object to that. I don't know.
I just don't know.
And she
but I mean, they all, you see, they all...
wanted you, as eldest son, to have the family miniatures and portraits, etc. But he felt very strongly about keeping them all together in England, under one roof. And unfortunately, you were not living in England. He grieved, that so many family heirlooms and treasures had been mislaid or strayed. And to avoid further, something like that, they passed into Peter's care. Outstanding accounts, bills, and obligations of your father's have been paid and attended to. The family grave at Kensal Green will be repaired and put in order. And I await your wishes on that matter. He didn't reply to that, did he?
Indeed.
Which was discussed in my last letter. Perhaps you'll be good enough to let me know what your wishes are. I would call your attention again that there is still a plot of ground belonging to you in Kensal Green. If you have any suggestions, I will carry them out to the letter. There's much to do in this flat, as I have yet to finish attending to all the files. I think, you know, she did go through those files when she was there on her own. Then I can begin to sort and pack. The firm of Maples and Company, Tottenham Court Road, are excellent in careful packing and dispatching. Oh yes, and she had to insure these things very heavily. They will carry out all your instructions meticulously. We have often employed them, always with complete satisfaction. A speedy reply would greatly appreciate your poor soul. Oh yes, this brings you, as always, my very dear Eric, my love, and please warm greetings to your Peggy, yours ever. E.M. She has always signed herself, you see, these people. I suppose previously,
she
signed Baby. I don't know. She might have signed baby over it. I don't know. But she always got me to put E.M. Mulock Harbin. And she adopted the Mulock Harbin. And following my having put Boucher Hall on
her. I see, you mean hyphenated?
Yes, well, we don't hyphenate, we just run it on.
Mm.
And she said to me, tell me, did you have to have it done officially? I said, no, just put it like that.
Yes, well, you can, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing I did wonder would have measured she would
yes,
come across that.
I have a friend in Brussels, and there was something to do with an American, I don't know if it was a bomb or what, outside a store. And so I brought this letter to her, and I read it out in French. I think it was an exercise for me. And she said, what class of woman is this? So she said, is she a lady? So I said, well, Miss Harbin, she's a working woman, she's a journalist. So then, within a very few weeks, her friend, this Baroness Altenstein, wrote and told her the very same thing. And they both had the very same angle. You know, deplorable, I think it was a foreigner who did it. And we go for the whole thing then. Yes, just getting chilly here. Then it was rather a different matter, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When it was her friend.
Do you think her reaction to me, if I'd written to her, would have been, is he a gentleman? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Mm. Mm.
Of course, I don't know.
You don't really know what a gentleman
no,
yes.
I don't know if I'd said to her, oh, I think it's a very good lesson. So I don't know to what extent that, but I don't know if that would have influenced at all.
Mm.
And then she would have seen you. I know what she would have done. She would have told her things and said, don't put that in your on your machine.
Yes,
don't put that in your machine.
She's obviously that type of person.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, when he died, Pemberton engaged a firm, and I think that's quite the usual thing, who come and assess, I suppose, the death duties. And he came and she twisted around him so much that she said, he said to me, oh, I can't carry on, I can't carry on. Because everything he touched, she said, I bought that, which is probably true, you know, I sort of feel for
she
her.
She said, I bought that.
Yes, I bought that, I bought that, and those are my things in that chest of drawers. And so the man went away, and he came later, I suppose he was told by his firm, you must make an estimate. So he came again. I don't know what happened that time.
Mm.
So I think the Brussels would have been, I don't know what you call it, not suspicious.
Oh, I'm sure she would have been suspicious.
Of course, when she went around squaring up people, and I think it was quite a shock. It sounded very brash. Those people in Greek Street presenting her with a bill. But she intended, and she did, see that they were
paid.
They paid, yes.
Mm.
Yes, I think she did. But I don't know about his politics.
No. Well, she clearly did diverge from orthodox communist politics anyway.
So I don't know how she reconciled
that. Well, what did she
want? He wished.
Yes.
Or a telegraph.
A telegraph.
She always had the telegraph, did she?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you that.
And of course, the Anglo-Soviet friendships society, what was it? That although he was a subscriber to this, and it went on after his death, and she always used to pass these things on to me.
She never talked about his communism to you at all. I mean, I suppose you wouldn't talk about things
and
like
as to his assessment of people's intellect. I wouldn't have said he was a snob, but
it didn't strike me out.
Based entirely on that party, with such an odd collection of people at the party, and I didn't know many, but I don't remember many of them anyway. Although you know, I was probably introduced to a few, but the ones I do remember, one would have thought they would have, you know, not invited them anyway, because thing in that Professor Joad was a crashing bore.
Oh, he was in later life.
You
were at that party, weren't you, where they were?
Yes, and he was introduced to us, and he said, what do you do? And we said we were journalists. He said, I refuse to be an interviewee. Who the hell wanted to interview him anyway? There was also George Robey and his wife, Grace Littler.
How did Joad behave?
See, I'm thinking of George Robey then.
Yes, you are.
And he said to me...
and his wife, Grace Littler.
...that he hadn't had a meal. And I said to her, I said, George Robey's hungry. Oh, she said, thank you for telling me. And she dashed out to be with me, served at once. And there was another girl there, who she was, I don't know, a woman. And she came with someone else, another woman, and she said to me, they've got a nice place here. How do they do it? You know, they were not ladies.
No, no.
And then there was this tailor woman.
How did Harbin manage that party? Was he good at a party, would you say? Harbin.
He enjoyed his party.
Enjoyed his party.
Did he?
Oh, definitely.
Mm.
Oh, this is my dear Brian. This must be Pollitt. Please let me have by return of post a definite address, which will reach you immediately, as I have some very important news for you regarding your last letter. Will write you fully when I hear from you, with love and blessings to all three. Wasn't that funny that she asked for the money back?
And then gave baby sort of talk about death much, and about dying and
yes,
and things?
Yes, and she was looking forward to it.
Was she?
Yes, she said that.
So she said.
Why?
She
I mean, because she meets...
She wanted to join her...
She said that she had consulted someone and said, shall I meet him again? And how does one manage when one meets again and his previous wife is there already? And they somehow or other consoled her over that. And, oh yes,
it's
she said...
It's rather sad, really, isn't it?
Yes, it was. And she said, she told the, what was his name, Dr... Morton, no.
Morson? Basil Morson?
No. Ivor, something. Mm. And she's told him that she was looking forward very much to passing out of this world. She said how astonished he was.
She never ever thought of remarrying. I mean, that
no,
was inconceivable,
no,
I suppose.
No, no.
Mm. That's very interesting. It's rather sad. I mean, what is the thing one...
But there was an old soul which Harbin rediscovered. I think she was a cousin, and she apparently was very infirm. She lived at Wimbledon. And Muloff, I think, in Harbin's time, gave her a wireless that the old soul was thrilled with, and she went to see her very often. Then she became very ill. She couldn't walk at all, apparently. And then she went into hospital. And other people visited this old dear, and so did Baby, see, after he died. And she said she wanted to find out as much as she could, I suppose that was reasonable. Anyhow, she said to me, oh, she's like cotton wool. She said, you can't get near her, see? She said she's looking about the ward all the time, not listening to what I'm saying. And then she said to her something about your financial position, and Bertha, her name was, and Bertha Harbin said, I have friends. So she asked, Baby did, Mr. Pemberton, was there any annuity? She rather felt that some money was coming to this old soul. I suppose she didn't want to overdo it. And he said no. Then later he said, oh, I've found in my files. Yes, she's had an annuity, a small annuity, for about 5 years.
From Harbin?
And she said to me, that's just what my dear husband would do. But I thought to myself, how odd that he didn't tell you.
Mm.
And Pemberton knew, but he mislaid the papers.
Yeah.
He didn't tell her immediately, but eventually he did.
Mm.
And then there was the question of the will.
Yes.
Harbinsville, you mean?
Yes, Harbinsville.
Yes. Hmm.
I suppose everybody else went.
And she wasn't there?
She wasn't there. She didn't know where it took place.
She had to go later on to Somerset House to see the will.
Oh, she did off her own bed.
This presumably the family trying to keep her out.
Yes.
That may be.
But as far as you were concerned, she always wanted to get on with the family and did her best to do so.
Yes, she did. And she used to say to me it would be the most marvellous thing in the world if Eric could come to see his father. And he did eventually. And she used to say, we'll send a little secret letter. And she did tell me that he wanted Naomi to befriend her and she wouldn't at first. And he also wanted, so she said, Naomi to be his executor. And she regretted that. That she turned it down because Peter was maybe one of the executors.
I